Hi, it's Viv here from The Life Hustle, one part of The Life Hustle.
And I am Emer, part two. Thank you for listening.
So, yeah, thank you for joining us all along and for all the support we've received. We're delighted to have Lisa on with us today, who I've been following for a while now online. Lisa started sharing her journey, My Small Wonder, about her gorgeous daughter, Kiva, who was born and diagnosed with achondroplasia. So I'm going to hand you over to Lisa to explain a little about that. Hello. Welcome, Lisa.
Hi, girls.
Lisa's very nervous.
Very nervous. I don't know why but I am. I am, and I think that's normal. Nervous, I suppose, are good.
It is. Exactly. And you know what? This is what I love about the internet. You know, like the internet itself has loads of positive sides to it. Social media, maybe not so much. You know, it is a little bit fake. And that's why we set The Life Hustle up, was to try and present a more authentic and real viewpoint of everyday life with conversations with people like yourself. And isn't it great that Instagram has connected us to you and your story? Because it's inspiring. It's, you know.
Exactly. And I love how you're sharing the real, honest days with
us. Yeah, it's hard. It is really hard. And I mean, the other day, I suppose myself and Kiva were talking in our room, and she said, "Mommy, do you know, some days I wish I could show the harder ones." Mm. And here I'm going to get upset now. But
that's okay.
They are hard. Mm. But then I showed the positives, as in what she has brought to us as a family. It's amazing. Like, I wouldn't have met you guys. I suppose the biggest thing last, when I put it out there, when I said, okay, I'm going to write my story. Everybody in this world has a story. And I just felt, okay, Instagram is so, like, I was going through Instagram. I was getting, for God's sake, is there any real life stories? It's all, you know.
It's like everyone's life is perfect.
Yeah, everyone's life is perfect. And I'm like, God almighty, will I write about this? And I had Facebook. Everyone was on Facebook back then. Okay. I had Facebook. And I was saying, okay, will I put it out there? Will I write it? So I sat down it was September last year. I sat down one evening. The kids were gone to soccer training. Kiva was gone to Nana's. And I said, you know what? I just need this hour to myself to sit down. And lads, it was more than an hour. About 6 hours.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was getting dark outside and everything. And I just sat down. And I just said, okay, here we go. I was scribbling out. I was tearing up. I was writing again. And I don't know what it was. It just flew out of me then. Brilliant. The post about My Small Wonder. And next, in the door, they all bounded in the door at 9:30.
Aww.
And I said, guys, can you sit down? And they were like, what's wrong, Mom? And I was like, listen to this. So read the story, cried my eyes out, and they were all like, Mommy, why are you crying? And I'm like, because this is about you, Kiva. And I said, I just need to tell people about this and bring awareness about your disability, bring awareness about dwarfism, everything. And she was
it
like,
a release for you?
Oh,
to do
Emer, you have no idea. It was like, I said to my husband, it's a built up, like, it's 9 years, so it's like nearly 10. So it was like 9 to 10 years that I was given that diagnosis. And I remember saying, I thought the world was so dark back then. And then I was like, am I ever going to speak about this? Mm. Will I ever, you know, talk about it properly? And that, as I say, well, I'll reverse back to September. And I remember Kiva sat there and we were on Facebook on Paul's laptop. And I said, right, it's all typed out now. She's like, Mom, can I press the button? I was like, go on. I was like sitting there, lads, when I say again, I was up till 2:30 in the morning. Everybody was emailing me. I just felt the relief, the whole thing about just
an outpouring of
it
support.
Was, yeah, that was it. Like, it was like, oh my God, this is really after happening. I just
and to
left
spend
it out.
9 years of not doing that, because I know now, I know loads of moms on Instagram that have had children with special needs, and it's a huge platform for them just to release, to create a community, just to meet other moms.
That's it.
You know, and like, in fairness, you didn't have that for a long time.
I didn't. I had, like, I'd say, or Vivian, sorry, Emer. Vivian, I had it was 9 years. Like, I really and truly felt I had nobody. It was like, even though people say, I had loads of support, we say like that. I used to talk to a lot of friends of mine and I did have a lot of support. And like, I have to say, back then, myself and Paul, we were never on the same page for about a year. And that was the loneliest time. It was
so
because we were battling, I suppose, the fact that, okay, I'm in a world now where a child, I have a disability.
Okay.
What happens? Where do I go? Who do I talk to?
Take us right back to, tell us a little bit about yourself anyway, before you were a mom.
I had a very, I suppose, I don't know, I can't even explain. I was talking about that to Paul this morning. I was saying, when I look back at our lives, we were so carefree.
Yeah.
I didn't care about anything. It was like,
I remember you being a really cool couple. Like, you know, when you're younger and you're like looking up to people going, yeah, they're very cool.
Like, we were, I suppose, the Henry's era back then. And we were like, you know, we just loved life. we would go out, you know, with our friends. We had lovely friends. We just,
there was
we
a
were
great
young,
scene back
yeah,
then,
there was. And we made friends and we're still friends with those guys to this day. Right. And like, do you know, all right, people drop off in your life and everyone comes into your life, I think, at different stages to help you. And mm-hmm. yeah. some of them drop off and it's no fault of yours or theirs. It's just,
different
you just
life.
Yeah, and yeah. connections aren't there anymore. And you just kind of say, okay, they showed me something. So now I move on. So yeah, we did have a very carefree life back then. Mm-hmm. And I suppose we were going to Ibiza. We were like living it up. You know, we just
had... And there
had
was no Instagram then to show?
No. And I would have loved to.
You're so glad you did
no.
that.
No. And I'm like, oh my God. And when I think back, and this sounds weird, girls, but I remember going to Ibiza, we'd say, with our friends. And it was an amazing island, we'd say, right? And I remember one day we went to the big place, Manumission. And I will always remember... this part of the show that they stopped and was like, they do like these sex scenes and all this. And two people came out with achondroplasia.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, I remember feeling, oh, my God, what is this?
Right.
Oh, and sounds weird now, but I felt I can't.
You're uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable.
Unbelievably so. And I was like, right, what? And I remember then when Kiva was born, I felt, was I being punished because I didn't act not? Oh, like girls, oh, you've no wow. idea of the thoughts that I used to have in my head. Did I do something wrong? Did I say something about them back then? Was I hard? Oh, yeah, it was just awful. But anyway, going off beat.
Not so.
That was my first encounter of, and I, like that, I would have never thought anything of anybody with small stature. I would have never looked at them any differently, but I just always felt, God almighty, was it back because I was, you know, you just don't know.
Yeah.
And like that, I just had a carefree life, as they say. And I just plodded along. And my lived 7 Potter, yeah, we're going together since we're like 15. So we're
we're
together nearly 30 years, girls. I'll tell you about that. Yeah. Anyway. So yeah, we're 30 years together. And I said, we've been through like everything from teenage years to, we'd say, young adults, everything. And so we've gone through life. And then we said, okay, let's settle down. It's time to buy a house. It's, you know, the usual things mm-hmm. that you go through life and go, okay, this is, your life is plodding along. So, and then we always talked about kids and I felt, yeah, I loved kids anyway because I came from a huge family and there was always, you know, only, what would you say, cousins everywhere. There was always cousins everywhere. And I just loved kids. So I was saying to Paul, well, we bought the house. It was like textbook. Buy the house.
Tick the boxes.
Get the get married, you know, the mortgage, everything. And it was time to have kids. And yes, we did. We had our, we'd say Bradley, I was what, 28, I think, having Bradley.
A baby myself.
Didn't know. I was like, oh my God, I remember when I was just ecstatic being pregnant. I loved being pregnant, loved giving birth. I'd given birth, I don't know how many times, Fia.
Okay. I think your first is so special.
Oh, he was just, and like that, we were besotted, absolutely besotted. And I just felt, yeah, 2 years passed, another one come. I was like, I'm ready again.
Brilliant.
Okay. I need to get pregnant again. So it was like tick, tick. And then Finian came along. So it was like, we'd our two boys. Man. I'm like, oh my God. You know, we'd everything. I just felt I had everything. But then you had the longing. I was like, I need pink. I was sick of football, sick of tractors everywhere, sick of trains, stepping over dinkies, you name it. I was sick of it. And I just said to Paul, I think we need to try for another one. He was like, but you're not guaranteed a girlie. So I was like, I am. I know I am.
So funny.
Yeah, and he was like, no, you're not. I was like, I actually am. I know I'm going to have a girl. I just had this preempt thing of, I was going to have a girl. Don't ask me where it came from. And I said, if I don't have a girl and it's another boy, I'll be happy with that. But I'll just get a baby doll or something, dress her up and pretend.
And how was your pregnancy?
Absolutely great. I had, all my pregnancy were brilliant. I never like had very bad morning sickness, nothing like that.
So lucky.
Just a little bit on Kiva, I think. But we'd say when I got pregnant then with Kiva, I was plodding along with it. And around 6-7 months mark, I don't know what it was. Every time we went for our scans, Paul always asked what they call sonographers, asked them, what is there? Are you sure? Are you 100% sure this is a girl? Are you 100% sure there's nothing wrong? And she kept, I remember at the anomaly scan, especially, he said to her, can you be 100% sure that there's nothing wrong with our baby? And she said, Paul, I'm 99.9% sure there's nothing wrong. Go home, tell the boys, move over. There's a girl coming.
Yeah.
Now, we told nobody, but we kept it. I think one or two people probably clicked on it was having a girl.
And how old was your youngest boy?
Finian, Bradley was, like, they were all under, geez, Finian and Bradley were, they were both under 5. Like, so, okay. Like, I was going to have 3 kids.
Be busy.
I was really busy. But, yeah, as I say, I just felt there was something wasn't quite right. But everything was measuring fine. There was nothing wrong. And next went into Haver. I'll always remember it was a Friday evening. Met the most amazing Spanish like we'd say midwife, she helped me the whole way through. She was born, out comes Kiva, the celebrations were amazing. I was like, you know, telling everyone it's a girl, even though we knew it was a girl.
So there was no the word was out.
Yeah, the word was out. And I was like, oh, this is amazing. And she just looked like her brothers. There was nothing that would have said, I didn't see anything.
Okay.
The midwife saw nothing, do you know? So it's like, I was like, oh my God, what? You know, and I remember one midwife, especially coming in when we went back to the wards, she kept saying, are you, who's she like? Or who'd she look like? And I kept saying, oh, she's the image of her brothers. And she came back in again a couple of hours later and she was kept looking in. She was like, you okay? I was like, yeah. And she was like, Ori, yeah, yeah. And I was like, this one's acting really strange.
Okay.
Thought nothing. Morning came, gave Kiva her feed, turned around just to pick up, we'd say something. And I turned back around and next I looked, Kiva was turning purple. I was like, oh my God, my what's wrong?
Wow.
Yeah. And that was it. Rushed like to neonatal. She was just taken off. All I remember people saying was, run down the stairs, just follow us. And I was like, oh my God, what's wrong? So I ran down, I had to ring Paul. I was obviously in the midst of trying to get Paul, please come up, there's something wrong.
Fear. Yeah.
So we went from that night, we'd say at 9 o'clock, to the following morning, 8 o'clock, trying to grasp what was going on. And then that was it. She was taken away. I was told to sit outside the door and Paul came up and he was obviously, I was screaming. I was like, what's going on with her? They wouldn't even go near her. And I'd say about an hour passed. I could see everyone standing around her. There was all like doctors poking and prodding. Next, I saw this guy come over towards us. I said, Paul, here we go. And I just looked at him and I said, I don't care. I said, what's wrong? Has she got spina bifida? Is there something wrong? I kept thinking there was something wrong with her like mm-hmm. that or what's wrong?
You just wanted answers.
Yeah, it was the first word that came out of my mouth. And he was, look, guys, it's fine. Have you heard of achondroplasia? And I'm sorry, excuse me. I said, I don't know what.
Of course you haven't.
I said, can you just speak in English, please? And he was, dwarfism. That was it.
Knocked.
And I remember going, oh, okay, that's fine. Can I see her now? Can I hold her? No, not a while. We need to do more tests, you know, everything. We're not 100% sure. Mrs. Walsh, we're not 100% sure this is what it is, but we're, you know, we'd have to wait for the bloods to come back. It's going to take about 3 weeks to come back from England. And I was like, that's all I could hear. Yeah, I'm like, 3 weeks? I was like, oh no, I think you're wrong. I said, no, that's fine. It was like denial. Then I started spiraling a bit. I was like, oh, this is all wrong. And I remember then this complete darkness of Paul stopped everybody from coming to the hospital. It was like a death. It was like,
I was just
all over the place. I was like, this is wrong. I was like, what's going on? And do you know, I just felt he took over. Celebration.
Yeah.
We thought it should have been a celebration that, you know, everyone's going to come up and see her. And no, we were told, no, we were only allowed to bring, we'd say, our parents into the neonatal. There was only two allowed in at the time. That was it. And nobody else was allowed to come. So she had to stay there. And we had to go home, obviously, after 2 days. Yeah, so we had to leave her there.
How long did it take for her to come home?
About 10 days. About a week to 10 days
it's
she was there.
Time.
It's a long time. Because I remember all... It was such a daze. Because I was like, I have two boys. Have I got two other kids? Like, I have two other kids at home.
That I couldn't.
Yeah. And I remember, like, you know, obviously the family stepped in. They were taking them. And I still don't even remember. I cannot go back to actually remember. Did I even see my children, those two boys back then? It was so dark.
You were probably on autopilot trying to cope with the news that you had received.
That was it, yeah. And I remember going, and the doctor that we had met, Dr. Dempsey, he was the nicest guy. And like, he's just amazing. He was amazing with us. He really spoke to us like we were humans.
Mm-hmm.
We were lucky that we had met him and that he was able to tell us, look, guys, it's not all doom and gloom.
Okay.
Do you know? And he really, I think from then on, just kind of said to us, yeah, you'll be fine. She'll be fine. I'm telling you. And the worst part was when he had to actually come in to a room, and I'll always remember in COH there was no windows. And I said, this is bad news, Paul. And Paul said, Lisa, we ain't getting good news today.
Oh, wow.
And I remember him walking in with her file and he was just shaking and said, guys, I'm so sorry. I have to actually tell you that she's missing the gene. I was like, okay. And I remember the buggy went that way. Paul went the other way. It was just awful.
And what kind of support, you know, with certain modern advances mm-hmm. now, things can be picked up during pregnancy.
Yeah.
But I imagine if it's something that isn't picked up, it must, as you have described it, it's like being hit by a train.
A train, yeah.
And how, like, what is the support system that's in place for you? Like, going home with a new baby is, you know, worrying enough, and you're just trying to kind of put one foot in front of the other and do your best. I can't imagine what it was like for you going home with Kiva. What worries had you?
Oh, and it was awful.
What kind of supports were in place? Like, did you have a clinic that you could call up? No. Because I don't actually know any other mums who have children with dwarfism. So, you know, who do you reach out to for advice?
That was it. I remember there was one nurse, I don't know, was it a nurse or a midwife? I remember her coming in. I think actually, sorry, it wasn't. It was like a social worker type walked into the room after he had left us. And she came in with like a sticky note and she said, there's two websites. And she said, go look at them up. And I'm like,
oh my God.
I remember that was the most horrible thing. And they say, don't Google.
Mm.
And sure, what was the first thing Paul did?
Yeah.
Remember Paul going home, Googling it. And I never forget that computer. I think it landed somewhere, maybe out the back.
Yeah.
Maybe through, I wouldn't even say through a window, but it definitely landed out the back somewhere. And it was just awful. And I remember looking up going, this can't be real. This is not the way she's going to be. I can't. No, it was the worst. And they give sometimes the worst case scenario, which they do.
Yes.
Okay.
But, and like that back then, when I look back nearly 10 years ago, I didn't have a support network. As in, I remember sitting up at night when Kiva was asleep or after her feed and going online, looking up people in America because Facebook was out.
Okay.
So I remember sitting with someone from like Azerbaijan. I think I could have that even wrong. No, lads, because okay. I'm not good at geography. Somewhere in that world. And I remember her popping up on my screen. And I remember another lady in America, I'd emailed her and she was the first lady to text me back or email me back on Facebook and told me, don't worry, you'll be fine. Wow. We'll welcome you into this group and put you on Facebook and in touch if you have any questions. But I just couldn't. I couldn't
you
even.
You weren't in that
no.
place.
And
you
I said,
ready.
I don't want to be part of a group. Like Kiva is Kiva, you know, and she's our girl and she's going to be, I'm going to try and give her the best normal life as possible. What's normal? But the normal life as possible. And it was just like, it was so hard. It was horrible because, as I say, there's so much support there now compared to when I was given.
Yeah.
And God forbid, if it was years past that again, I would dread to think there definitely was hardly no support. Yeah.
And
then.
As the years went on then, did things change? Like, how did you...
I don't know. I think I went into then it was a case of I'm a mom now. I'm a mom of three. This is it. I'm on overdrive. And it was like giving her the best life possible. You know, I knew deep down from the ages of kind of, we'd say, 0 to 5, everything was going to be okay. But I knew then from 5 on, the real world was hitting. School was starting.
Because you can smother them at home and you can keep them in their little bubble.
This is it. She was a little doll. She was my real life baby doll because everywhere
she's
we went.
Absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, everyone was like, oh my God, she's a real life. Is she? Like everyone stared at her because they were like, why is she talking and she's so small? It's like she's like a little tiny tears, honestly. And that's what they used to call her. And I just said, I knew the age 5 was coming and I had to step her into the world of the real world where people were going to say, why are you so small? Or, you don't know,
kids can be so innocent.
They're so innocent, but yet so cruel. And and I just think sometimes it's the adults that are even
I know. And you know what? It's an ignorance. It's a lack of understanding. Or maybe in the past, people haven't talked openly about how they have been in the situation. And that's the good thing about the internet now is that, you know, you have that platform and you can do so much good with it and create so much awareness.
Yeah.
Can I ask you, when did the limb lengthening operations, when did that come into the whole picture for you?
I suppose like that when we were talking to Dr. Dempsey back when she was only a raw baby, I remember saying to him, okay, that's fine. She is this now. And I was all like being gung-ho and being the mom and being all. And I said, can she get those growth hormones? And he just looked at me and he went, sorry. He said, Lisa, you have to get that out of your head. He said, that is never going to happen. It has been proven it's never going to happen. So she will get nothing from that. I was like, that's fine. And he never said anything about limb lengthening. And I just remember one day getting a letter from a Sinead Boren in the Mercy. And she is like a bone specialist. And I remember getting a letter that we must have been transferred to her or something. I can't quite remember, but I remember that saying we had an appointment to see her. Because you do kind of go through all these phases of different, we'd say bone specialist, or you could have neurological specialist, all the different departments. And I remember going to meet her and she just happened to mention, you do know Kiva is a very good candidate for a limb lengthening surgery. Have you heard of it? And I was looking at her, sorry, myself and Paul looked. We were like, no, what do you mean? And she said, there's a guy in the States at the moment, she said, he's gone on to do an advanced procedure in it, that it's going to be amazing. And she was bigging it up and we were too wide eyed, like looking at her saying, oh my God, this is a lifeline.
A ray of sunshine.
Yeah, it's like, is this for real? Now, she said, obviously, you're going to have to research it and we'll put you in touch with him and go and have a chat. And that's what happened then. So we'd say that would have been about when she was a baby. And then we were brought back to, we'd say, the following year. And it was a kind of a yearly checkup thing. And then okay. she said, right, he's home. We were like, who's this? Who's he home? I was like, what's his name? Give me the numbers, blah, blah, blah. And she was, so it was Conor Green. And I was like, okay. So I remember ringing, looking for an appointment. I got it. And they said, come up, we'd say it was May of 2 years ago. So that was, how old was she? God,
seven.
Gave, so, yeah, she was about six-ish, seven. I remember at that time when she we were told to come up and meet him. We went up, met him, absolutely amazing guy. Talked to Kiva, wasn't really us. He asked us one question. We walked into the room like this, the way we are now. You're him, Emer. And he said, can I just ask the two of you guys why you're here? And I said, I looked at Paul. I was, well, I said, the world, you know, I said, Kiva can't reach a door. I said, she can't turn the light on. I said, she can't take a shower on her own. She, that's fine. That's fine. And he turned away and he just started speaking to Kiva. And he's asking her about herself. And she said, what's this? And she was asking him all about it. And he showed her. He said, I need to draw on you. And she said, OK. So he drew all over her legs and he drew on her arms. And he said, these are the scars you will have for the rest of your life if you go for this. No. No way, mom, dad, come on. No, no, this is not happening. That was fine. He said, that's OK. This is what happens.
It's
and he
natural.
Said, look, guys, he said, all the best and go and think about it. And I'll see you in a year. I said, okay, or maybe two. But we were just, I remember being on holidays then and we were talking to Kiva about it and she was, no, everything was no for about a good 6 months day. It really was a year of no. And one day I just remember last year on holidays, it was really, really, it was stressful enough because then it was really apparent how much people ran away from her.
Oh,
kids,
no.
Especially. No, not, and it was just awful. And I remember the parents never, you know, saying anything to the kids for why they run away. I remember saying to me, Mommy, I just don't like this anymore. I just don't want to be small anymore. And I'm like, oh my God.
That must be absolutely heartbreaking to you.
Yeah,
to hear.
Heartbreaking. And I remember then saying, okay, look, I said, do you want us to go and meet? I want to meet that doctor again.
Isn't it great though that it came from herself?
That was it. And I said, oh, I said, Dr. Green. And she was like, yeah, can we go meet him again?
Wow.
And then that's how the ball got rolling. Then we went back up to meet him last year. It was after we came back from holidays. And I remember sitting again and she looked at him and he said, oh, you're back. And he said, well, what's your answer? And she went, yep, can you draw on me again?
Oh.
So he drew all over. He said, this is exactly where they're going to be. And he just looked at the two of us across the table. All his team were there. We met them all and they went through everything with us. And he just went, I'll see you next January.
Wow.
And that was it.
That
was the big start then.
And what were your worries going into that?
When Kiva said the answer, I remember getting up, I said, Paul, I'm actually physically going to get sick. And he said, are you okay? I said, no, I'm actually going to get sick. This is way too much. I said, I can't, because it was real. I said, this is actually really going to happen. And I remember going home, the car was silent. We were all like, this is actually happening. This is actually happening. She was in the back on her iPad. There wasn't a word out of her. Myself and Paul were like, this is happening. And all he said, right. He said, we're after being given a lifeline, Lisa. He said, you and me have been saying all our lives, how are we going to fix this for her? How are we going to make her fit in this world that's not built for her? How are we going to do it? And now we've been given a lifeline. And he said, I understand it's the fear factor. He said, I'm sick to my stomach. This is a fear factor on both our parts. We don't know what way it's going to go. We don't know if it's going to be a success. But he said, it's a lifeline. And he was like, this is what we always wanted for her. So it's a lifeline. And I felt, oh, okay. But he said, look, it's normal for us to be feeling this way. He said, you're upset. He said, if you want to cry, cry. If you want, you know, he said, you actually look like you're going to get sick. And I was like, I know. And I just felt, no, I suppose not that it was the right thing. I knew it was the right thing I was going to be doing for her. But I still had so many doubts and so much anguish going, how do I put my, looking at her in the back of the car, a healthy baby through this. And knowing that when he told us the ins and outs that she wasn't going to walk for months, you know, you're putting a healthy child, we'd say, that's so active to being not active.
But and there is a picture of Kiva on Instagram that actually makes me nearly cry every time I look at it. But she's standing up. Like, she is standing up in the picture.
Yeah.
And like, it's unbelievable.
Oh, that was just that moment when I saw her doing that. I went, you did it. face. You did it. Like, it was her face. She was, and if you saw what she did go through, and I think the worst part of that journey for me, and I said to Paul, because I was mainly on my own in Dublin, as I won't.
Was it
Paul,
just one surgery?
Two, okay. Three. We were on third there a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, so she had three of them. Okay. So it was basically, we were told we'd see you in January, and he said it would be one procedure. But then we had been told in December of last year that it was going to be two takings, as in.
Okay. And what her, do they do in?
I suppose he's the main man in Ireland at the moment that's doing precise nail, which is sits inside her thigh bone.
Okay.
So basically, Kiva was able to get that procedure because your growth plate. I've learned so much on early. I don't have the doctorate of the what would you say? I don't have the diploma in doctory, but definitely I've learned so much about how it works. But like that, he was able to go through her thigh. Okay. We'd say the top of her thigh, put this thing into her bone.
Right.
Wow. And the only thing is, you can't get on the bottom of a child's leg because their growth plate from their knee down is still growing.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so then that's why the frames are on. They look horrendous, I won't lie. They are, and they're really, really, they're, oh, I can't look at them, and I'm used to them now, but at the start I wasn't. But I had to pretend to Kiva that I was.
There's a lot involved with cleaning them and turning them.
Unbelievable, yeah. And you have to turn like that. You're in lengthening phase for about 100 days. You're in lengthening phase. So for every like centimetre or inch they want to get, you have like 50 days of that, of turning. Wow. Yeah, so it's like.
Is she in pain with you when she's going through this?
No, like a lot of people are asking, but is she in pain? And I'm like, she's not. She was in pain, and like the hospital stay, and there's no point in dressing it up to anybody that does want to get this done. And I've said this so many times to moms that email me, and I'll say they all want to know the pain factor. And I'm saying the pain factor is when you're in hospital. So you think about, you break a bone, you're going to be in pain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's what they're doing. They're essentially breaking a bone and they're growing a new one. So the pain factor is about, she was in hospital, but it's all done through medication. Obviously, it's watched, it's monitored and managed. She was really sick for about 4 days. And then all of a sudden, Kiva turned and it was like, she's back.
Wow.
So that was the pain factor. And
how were her spirits when she was after the operation?
Very bad. Like, why did you do this to me? I remember getting up from the first one in January. I remember when she, and like that, now she hadn't got the frames on. So it was all like, you couldn't see anything. It was all inside her leg. I couldn't see. And I was saying, oh, this isn't too bad. And I remember when she woke, and the following day, and she screamed saying, why did you do this to me? I want my old body back. I want my old legs back. I don't know why I did this. And I just, that was it for me. I broke.
Oh,
yeah. Every, I think I went out of the hospital. I said to Paul, you stay there. I can't cope with this. Just stay there with her. And it was just brought back to when she was born.
Tough,
dark days again.
Times.
Yeah. It was like, oh, no. But then it was, I remember then it was like a week past. It was like nothing had happened. It was weird. It was, she was back in high spirits. She couldn't wait. It was like she
wanted. And children so resilient.
Yeah, they're unbelievable. Amazing. It was like, this couldn't be happening. I was like, this is not real. I said, Kiva, are you actually? Oh, I'm grand. She was all the business. I can't wait to get back to school. And I'm going to, you know, and I'm like, this is not normal. She's amazing. Like, that's what I'm saying. The strength the child has is phenomenal. Amazing. And I just, she's amazing. And like that, her schooling, she obviously, there was a big thing. She couldn't go back to school, and that's fine. And I knew the next one was coming up, and that was the big one then. That was like, okay, this is going to be visual. This is going to be a bigger version of what she just had, and by God it was.
And the scars.
I remember the nurse coming in, Anna's a lady. I remember coming in going, right, and she's really chirpy, and she's like, come on, we're going to clean you. And I was like, oh my God. The unveiling of the legs, and we knew that it was coming, the bandages had to be taken off, and she just caught her, put her into the shower. I was with her, I remember standing there, and I remember coming, taking her back. Oh, she was screaming, lads. When I talk, that went through me. And then I had to try and be, you know, video it. I was saying, okay, I'm going to show people this is what it is. This is what it looks like when it's all taken off. I didn't show the shower part. There was no point because people would have tuned out. So I just said, okay. And I showed it. And I'm standing there. And I remember going into the toilet. And I said, Kiva, I just need to make a phone call. And I closed the door. I think I vomited. And I think I started, just couldn't stop crying.
Wow.
Yeah. And I tried to hold myself together. And she's like, Mom! And I'm like, oh God.
Even the emotional build up to that. And then.
Yeah.
Actually seeing it.
Seeing it, yeah.
And having both positive feelings and negative feelings about it at the same time. Yeah. It's just
awful. I wouldn't, like as I say, but you have to, like I say to anybody doing it, you have to be prepared for the emotional and the physical on your body as a person. It's a huge task to take on. But all I keep saying is that it's short-term pain for long-term gain. It's all I keep saying in my head. That's all I keep saying. It's for you, Kiva. Like, you know, you will, even to see her now, like you fast forward now to see her what she went through. Now we're going through the lull. They call it consolidation phase, where the bone is growing, the bone is regenerating, everything. But now you have the mental side for Kiva. It's the stimulation side, trying to keep her going. Okay.
Adjusting to
this, new, you know, they're still on her. They're going to be on her. She sees her friends running around. She can't go up, get up and walk.
Summer is coming.
Yeah, and it's hard. Yeah.
You know. And what's the longer term prognosis after the operations then?
So basically what we're hoping they'll all be off by August.
Oh, wow.
So we're hoping, we don't know. That's what we're kind of saying to ourselves. It'll be August, we're saying. But then what happens is she will obviously be in, still going on, going physio, trying to, and she has
to strengthen
everything. She basically has to learn how to walk again.
Okay.
And you're up and down to Kappa and Dublin every week.
Every week, yeah. So it's like,
can I ask you, because she's still, the bones are still growing, mm-hmm. What is the hope for the measurement extra that she will get out of this process?
Well, he told us initially he wanted to get her to any, like when he did her measurements, we'd say the way they do it, they calculate for C down the road. So what they said, Kiva, as an average, we'd say now she would have only ever reached 4 foot.
Okay.
Max for a woman is 4'1", 4'2" with achondroplasia. They don't grow any more than that.
Okay.
And it starts from 3'5" to 4 feet. So then what he had said to us, going on Kiva's measurements right now, her final destination, as they say, could be anything 4'8", 4'10".
Wow.
Yeah. And wow. I mean, if at the moment we're nearly like, I think when she's going to be done, I think it's nearly 4 inches she's got. So,
wow.
Yeah. So even though he wanted the 5, we couldn't, because like that, you come into complications.
Okay.
The kneecap was giving her trouble and we can't afford to lose a kneecap.
Okay.
Yeah. Because that means no more lengthening.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so it's 2 operations. He has said to us 2 operations, but she has to have her arms done also. So it's not just the legs.
Process.
It's a very long. It's a 10-year. He said it's a 10-year plan, really, for her. Yeah, 10 years. Yeah, it's like.
So she seems like the bravest little girl ever, though. she's such a character.
She is. Yeah, she really is. Like, she is. And that's why I say I get my strength, I think, from her. I don't know where it comes from. People say, why are you so strong? You know, Lisa, how are you getting through all this? And I just feel, I don't know, it's like my calling or something. Do you ever feel it's like your calling? I'm a mom. When I became a mom, it was like, yeah, this is it. This is it. I just knew I was destined to be a mom. Destined to have a little girl. It was weird. I always said, yeah, 2 boys and a girl.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's what I had. And I don't know, it's just...
Can I just take you back what you mentioned earlier about for the first year of Kiva's life, that you and Paul were in different wavelengths?
Yeah, completely.
In what way?
Like, my day would have been, oh, I'm fine. Everything's great. She's fab. There's nothing wrong with her. I'm fine.
Okay.
Paul was in complete denial. Okay. Paul was in complete, I can't believe this is happening. Oh my God. You know, and he did make... I think to us the other day we were talking about that, he was saying, like, I never felt sorry for myself, or I didn't feel sorry. There was a few nights and few days when I was on my own. Why me? Why did this have to happen to me?
Yeah.
You want your perfect everything, but there's nothing that's perfect in this world. And that's what I had to realise. Mm-hmm. Nothing is perfect. And
you make your own perfect.
This is it. And you have to be happy in yourself. And if that's not there, then you're fighting a losing battle straight away. And I just felt so blessed that I had these 3 kids, I had my husband, do you know, and I just had to put everything into perspective. But I will say that year, Vivian, was hard on me and Paul and our marriage. Like, I kept saying to my friends, he's just not on the same wavelength as me. He's just not getting it.
But men and women deal with things very differently.
Yeah, we process. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Emotionally, we process things very differently.
Yeah, very. And I remember a doctor saying that to me. I remember having to go to the doctor like that. I wasn't even telling Paul, and he was like, I would just be down there. I'd go down and I'd make an appointment just to go to see my doctor. I was so, I knew myself I was depressed. I knew myself I was battling something I couldn't put my finger on even. I just felt the highs were high and they were just, the lows were way too low. Okay. And I just felt, right, I need to be some, you know, strong for these guys. There was 3 kids waiting for me at home. My husband was there. And he used to always say, but we're all depending on you. Like, he'd look up to me, he said, and he said, your strength was amazing. But I was saying, you don't realise I'm not strong. And he was saying, but Lisa, you are. I'm like, I'm not, Paul. Remember the arguments over that. You're not strong. You are. The two of us were getting each other. And I was like, no, but you're my, you know, my strength. And he's like, no, Lisa, like, you are.
You
but I think
together.
What's amazing is that you had the fact that you had the awareness to take yourself to the doctor and to go and say, I want to be in a different place.
This is it.
And it's like, without beating yourself up for being in the place that you were in.
Yeah.
You were dealing the absolute best with the cards you'd been given.
That was it.
But you knew that you needed to be on a different
kind of,
to have a different approach and have a different mindset. And that's the one thing we're not great for as women, is asking for help. That's, but we have to do it.
We have to. And I hate that part of not ask. Like, I say that to a lot of my friends, you know, I go and talk to them, and there is nothing wrong with saying, I remember saying to my doctor, I don't want medication. Do not give me medication. I said, I need to be fully alert here. And I remember her saying to me, well, how do you feel about going talking to somebody? Friend, fine. No bother. And I remember, and I won't lie, like, I'd say I'm 10 years probably in counselling, and I'd be the first to say to somebody, go and speak to somebody.
Mm-hmm. I actually think whether everything is perfect in your life or
exactly.
not, it's important, if not crucial, that you go and speak to someone neutral.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every now and then, just to kind of maybe offload or keep things in check for yourself.
And thankfully, the stigma has lifted on that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, before, if you went to a counsellor,
basket, you know, case.
I know.
Exactly. You're being, men and white coats are coming to you and everything. Yeah, yeah, you're
going
to
be. It's just resetting your values, your goals, and just, it's a bit of self care.
That's it. Yeah, it's self care. And I think if you don't, you know, take care of yourself, who else is going to take? Like, everyone say, but you have to have someone to lean on. No, you don't. Like, you have to lean on you. Mm-hmm. If you aren't 100%, nothing else works.
We have a friend, Sonia, we've said this in previous episodes, but she has a saying that if the captain of the ship goes down, the ship's going to sink.
This is it.
Yeah.
It's
moms
so
are
true.
A lot of the time.
Yeah, we are definitely captains of our ship, definitely. Yeah. And, you know, and I remember that was one thing stuck out to me during this journey for the last couple of months. I remember my two boys, I will never forget the hugs when I came in the door. When I came back, I honestly cried. I was like, this is not for real. And they said, Mom, oh my God, the house is just not the same. Mm. So then you know, you're like, yeah, they really need you. They need their moms to be, because, that's what I say to my friends, like, if you're, as a parent, if you're not 100%, how do your children run? Mm-hmm. How do your children function in this world without a parent being 100%? And I think, because they feed off us, they copy everything we do. Like, as I say, my one is like a doppelganger probably of me. Not joking, yeah. The boys are doppelgangers of Paul. And it's just, you know, like, they just live and breathe what we say. And if we don't instill the values in them.
I agree, yeah.
It's so, like, you know, you just have to say, you know, the biggest thing in our home is be kind.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Lovely. And about
actually,
awareness.
Actually, I came across a page on Instagram the other day, Afric, who is a gorgeous makeup artist.
She's beautiful.
She's gorgeous. And I actually didn't realise that Noelle or
Carol
was her aunt, who lives
right.
like really near me. She lives like on Cedar Road, I think. Yeah,
Carol is lovely.
So I didn't realize the connection, but Afric was shopping with her on Thursday in Blackpool, and she was just saying that she can't understand, like, how kids can be so mean and judging, but then the parents not intervening.
That's it.
Yes, and so, just educating.
You know, and I think we all need to educate our children that, like, not everybody is the same.
I think maybe the parents don't know what to say. So then they just get into this awkward situation where, instead of asking a question and just asking an honest question, they try to shove the kids away. And
It's like, don't look. That's one thing. I got a good few emails, we'd say, from people saying, Lisa, would you ever do something just to, what would we say to our kids? The amount of emails that I would get, like, what can I say to my child?
Brilliant.
What's the politically correct way to say what Kiva has? Like, there's such a stigma attached to it, because I would have remembered one particular person that I would have grown up with that I remember having dwarfism, even though I would never call Kiva dwarf. And I honestly, girls, the biggest banned word is the M word.
I know.
It gives me cringe.
There's no room for that in this room at all.
No, it's horrible. And you still hear it. And there's no point in saying that we didn't, you know, that, like, nobody used it. They'd still use it. I hear it.
It's so ignorant, though.
Disgusting. And, you know, it's just, I hate the fact that there's still a stigma attached to Kiva's condition.
Mm-hmm. And there are different forms of dwarfism.
There's 200, probably more. But Kiva's is the most common.
Okay.
That's what they call it. Like, Kiva's the most common form. It's one in every 25,000 births that that's born. Like, I always say, when I saw that statistic, I went, well, how lucky was I? Because she was given to us. Or I always say, she chose us. And I just think,
you know, I think, like, you meet different people and people come into our lives to teach us or like we become more whole people as a result of them being in our lives.
Oh, without a doubt.
You know, I'm so glad I found your page on Instagram. It then made me, this was ages ago, go away and look up, like for all of our episodes, I'm always intrigued to learn more about all of the topics. But I found this lovely parenting blog on the New York Times. And there's an article there from a mum called Tiffany Di Donato. And if you can find it, just
Google it. I will be Googling, don't worry.
I cried. And it just filled my heart with love because she spoke about herself having a different type of dwarfism. I can't actually pronounce it now. It's diastrophic dysplasia. She said she spent her childhood fighting joint pain and muscle stiffness, enduring multiple bone corrective surgeries. She played with her dolls when she could, but pretending to be a mommy didn't seem right because she knew that was never for her. Even after I gained 14 inches through a grueling and highly controversial limb lengthening procedure, my body simply wasn't like other girls. So again, being a mother didn't seem like part of her future. Fast forward, anyway, I'm skipping loads of paragraphs here, but she met a 6 foot tall, handsome Marine.
Love it.
When he returned from a second tour in Iraq in the States, and she married him. And she found out she was pregnant not long after, even though that was something was never for her. And from the day that she found out, she just was so afraid, you know, for her unborn baby, that the baby would have to face the same challenges that she had to face. And she said that, if I can find it here now, she found out that anyway, her son was a boy, and that he was going to not have the condition. And she said, I named my son Titan. And you can bet there's a bit of wish fulfillment in there. The child of a dwarf named after a race of giants with supernatural strength.
Oh, my God.
And I just thought, I love, you know, hearing stories of like adversity and people overcoming.
Nothing is impossible.
Nothing. And that's what I keep saying to Kiva. Our big thing at home is, firstly, love yourself, but secondly, you can be whatever you want to be.
Yes.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, what are her hopes and her ambitions?
Too many.
Run the world.
She's too many. Yeah, I'm like, oh my God, I want to be a model. I want to be a makeup artist. I want to be a nurse. I want to be. And you can be all those.
I love that age.
Whatever. Because I said, I'll tell you, Kiva, when I was growing up, I never knew what I wanted to be. Obviously,
I still don't.
And the biggest one I've done, I think the biggest job has been the mom. I don't care what anyone says. Yes. They will, and I just say to Paul, even no one will ever take that away from me.
No.
No matter what job I was in, and no matter what job I left, nobody will ever take the mom away from me. So that, and I keep saying that to Kiva, and she's like, "Will I be a mom?" Of course, you'll be a mom.
Yeah.
Do you know? And I said, everybody, no matter what you're going to do, Kiva, I said, you will succeed. So, and we keep saying the same to the boys: live your dreams. They dream of being footballers. They dream of being Just keep going.
We live in a great era now, I think. You know, everything is possible.
Everything is possible. But I just feel at times with Instagram, and I even watch Kiva looking at it sometimes, and she, I hate the comparison thing, but we all do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I keep telling her we do all do it, but mom, why is she so beautiful? Her pretty, look at her legs, look at her.
Do you follow Sinead Burke online at all? I mean, she's one of the most amazing women in this country, and she's an amazing advocate for everything she does. Mm-hmm. And I just always feel like, I look at her page and I just feel like you can do anything.
Mm-hmm. Anything, no matter, as I said, Kiva, what size you are, no matter what way you can do and reach, but it'll have to be in your way.
Yeah.
So I think a child with a disability, and I mean, there's no point in getting away from the fact that Kiva will still be small. Mm-hmm. Like, she'll always have achondroplasia all through. Like, she can pass that gene on to her child. My grandchild can have it. Mm-hmm. Like, but I just say to her, do it in your way. Mm-hmm. When you're able to do it, and when you can, you'll find your own way of doing what we all do.
And I think in society, we, like outside of this, we also need to challenge our ideals of beauty, of what is it? Beautiful, because it's not just one look or one size or one shape. You know, we need to challenge that, and we need to be advocates for it at home. It starts at home, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I'm even thinking now, Kim Kardashian is 5 foot.
Is she?
5 foot.
Right, you just educated me there, Reemer. Thanks
there
very
go.
Much.
You know, like you just have to, like, I think now times have changed.
Yes.
And what people perceive as being beautiful, like, we have worked in the fashion industry where at a time you had to be a certain height, a certain look, a certain age. Now the most booked models are 60 plus, size 14 to 16. So it's times change, but it's because we are making a statement and making sure that we are inclusive about what we do.
That's it.
So,
and we're talking more and more to clients that want real women and real people in their campaigns.
Real. Yeah, because, it's real.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because we're not all, we're all different shapes and sizes. Yes. We're all, I mean, height wise, my God almighty, we could just go on all day and all night.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, and that's what I keep saying to Keeve, if you want to be a model, when you can.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell her, don't knock on anyone else's door.
Yeah. But ours, yeah, please. Cork royalty here will be telling her, so there's no of fashion. Definitely.
Oh, she's more than welcome. Yeah. Oh my God. But like, that's the thing, is she inspires me. And look how young she is. And that's who we want to look up to. That's who I want as a role model for my children.
This is it,
But like, not only has she taught you, like, you're a more amazing mum, and like as a result of her being in your house, but like, you know, you're amazing role models as parents. Like, I think when people go through challenges and darker days, it does nothing but strengthen you when you come out.
I keep saying that to people, don't think it's all rosy red. I'm with Paul, like, I'm what would you call the statistic, childhood sweetheart. Not many survive that part of a relationship,
especially with challenges.
We've had, and Paul would sit here today and say the same thing, we've had our bad days, we've had our rough times, but we got through them because we just, I suppose, we lean on each other. I get him, he gets me, and I'm just lucky. I always say in life, I've been really lucky. I've been unlucky as well, but I've been really, really lucky. And I just say, what I have, I focus on the good parts now. But before that, and I have to say, girls, there's no point in lying, I would have focused on the really negative things.
Okay. But so I've done a lot of work.
Of work, and it's taken me years to get to where I am.
Okay.
Right now, not even right now, even go back a year ago, to get to a point where I accept even who I am.
Yes.
I accept what I've become. I accept all those things now. But it did take
a
long road.
And do you think Keeva has been a gift in that process?
Oh, Emer, you've no idea. Like, that's what we say. I was given the two boys, and they are amazing in their own right.
Are they very protective of
their
sister?
Oh my God. And like that, you're going to, like, everyone laughs when I know this sounds terrible, and I should say it, and I am going to say it. I was given a small, medium and a large, as in height. Wise and children.
Yeah.
No word of a lie. Yeah. They are three different individuals with three different heights.
Wow.
It's amazing. And to see their strengths, their qualities, even what they've brought to us as parents, as myself and Paul always say, we just sit down night and go, how lucky are we?
Oh, three individual amazing. Hearts and souls in the house.
Like. It's amazing. And I know they say no child is, like, they're not all the same.
Yeah.
But to have it, to go through it with the three of them and go, oh my God, we're going in three different directions, Paul. It's amazing.
And she has like two bodyguards for the rest of her life.
Oh, the lucky thing.
And she loves she kills the two of them, but she loves, like, the two of them are so protective, and they're and they'd be like, you know, why are they looking at her? Or stop, you know, and they'd be very, very, it's very hard because real life, lads, there's no point in saying, like, you're in a bubble as well. And when you go out to the real world and you do see people stare, you do see people
that's really hard.
Do you know? And it's like, guys, everyone is different. So that's why, and she keeps saying that herself, she's going to love to, you know, help people too when she gets older. And I really do hope she carries on that, you know, she brings more awareness about achondroplasia.
I think you can imagine how much you've helped people on Instagram.
I hope so.
You know, mothers getting a new diagnosis.
Yeah, and that's what, like, I had one girl now text me last, I won't say her name because she'd be embarrassed. But like, she said to me, you don't realise how much hope you've given me. Do you know, and her baby's only 9 months.
Oh, wow. So you know the place she's in.
And I said, and that's what she said to me. And she said, you know, Lisa, what you look at it and you say, she doesn't want to get involved in groups. And that was a big thing for me. I didn't want to put Keeva in an association. That sounds terrible. But like, I didn't want to put her in a box and go, right, you're labelled. There you go. Off you go now, Keeva. These are all your peoples. It shouldn't be like that in the world. We all need to be diverse. We all need to integrate with
Everyone's journey is different.
Yeah. And, you know, and I just say it's all personal choice. And I say that to new moms. It's personal choice what road you take. Some people don't like limb lengthening route. That's fine. And they'd frown upon it. And that's okay too. But I would never say to someone, oh, you have to have it.
Yeah,
of course. Personal choice at the end of the day. And a lot of people have said, I've got a couple of emails, why did you do this to your child? Why are you trying to change her?
It's very easy to judge from afar.
Yeah, family decision together.
It's a family
decision.
And it's not your change.
Right,
I remember, and I remember Dr. Green saying to us, you're not changing her. And I said the same, it's functionality, Lisa. You function. We need to get Keeva to function in this world.
Keeva is going to be an ambassador of the future that we'll all be
I
looking up
so.
To. She is. She is. And keep in touch with us so we get her on a catwalk. Yeah. We're going to get
yeah.
on a catwalk.
Yeah, she'd love it.
Definitely.
That's brilliant.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you for and thank joining you too, girls. Thanks, Emil. Thank you.
So thanks for listening. Please be sure to follow Lisa at My Small Wonder 7.
Yeah.
And feel free to share the episode online and follow The Life Hustle. You can see the rest of our episodes at www.redextra.ie, where all of the fabulous extra content from Red FM is over there. So that's where we live with all of our other episodes. Let us know what you think. And if there's anyone else that you'd like us to interview, please reach out and let us know. Thank you for listening.